Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. A welcome to everybody and to any visitors we have with us, and a welcome back to the Reverend Bill Ross, who's conducting our service this morning. Notices are on the sheet, just two or three that I'll mention that are not there. One is that the prayer meeting this evening is in second Sunday of the month, as usual, in June Taylor's house at 7 o'clock this evening. A fortnight today, there is not a service here, because a fortnight today is the Spayfest service in Fochabers, and there'll be something in the bulletin about that next week. For those who come by bus, the bus, we've asked the bus to come an hour early to take you up to Fochabers and back from Fochabers. Looking a bit further ahead, I've had a notice from Isabel Buchan. Stuart Townend, who is a well-known hymn writer, 21st century hymn writer, has written some well-known hymns, How Great the Father's Love to Me, In Christ Alone, and the version of The Lord's My Shepherd that's got the chorus, And I Will Trust in Him Alone, which we know. Stuart is coming with his band to Buckey on the 9th of September, one evening only in the Fisherman's Hall. If anybody's interested in going, let me know. I'm afraid it's a ticket event and the tickets cost £15 unless you're under 18. No, okay. tickets are £15 and there's a limited number. So if you are interested, let me know and we'll see if we can get a ticket for you. The last thing, as Meg told us last week, Isabel Buchan is retiring. Her retirement date is actually the end of August. She stops officially on the 31st of August. She's going to be with us next Sunday morning because she and Atty are exchanging pulpits next Sunday. That was an arrangement that had been made quite a while ago. And I think as this is the last Sunday that Isabel will be with us, because she's a couple of weeks holiday to take at the beginning of August, and obviously she'll want to spend her last weeks with her own congregations. We want to make a presentation and make our thanks to Isabel next Sunday morning when she's here. Thanks to quite a number of you who have already given something towards a gift for Isabel. If you want to make a gift, a contribution towards a gift from the congregation to Isabel on her retirement, you can hand it to myself or any of the elders, or if this is the first time you've heard this and you've come off without your checkbook, then you can simply put something in an envelope and put it on the plate next Sunday morning, and it will find its way to Isabel. So that's next Sunday. I think these are all the intimations that anything else is on the sheet for you to read. Thank you.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you again and see everybody. Thank you for coming, and we trust that as we join together, God will bless us. It's Sunday morning, and we need to be together around God's word. And so let's open our service by joining together in our first hymn, For My Sake and the Gospels Go and Tell Redemption's Story.
Thank you.
Take your time. Take your time.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come in freedom to worship you this morning, to be together and to share fellowship. We thank you that you are a God who answers prayer, and we ask you to help us to remember that. Father, we bring our nation to you at this time of confusion, and we pray for resolution and peace. And as we think of other nations who are also at a time of crisis, we think of Syria, we think of South Sudan, of people living in war, and we pray for peace for them. Lord, we bring our church to you, the Church of Scotland, and we thank you for the changes that are going to come. And we ask that they will come, and that we will be part of that, and that the changes will further your kingdom. We pray for our presbytery as it makes decisions that will impact us and impact our communities. And we ask that you will be in their decisions. We thank you for new ministries in Buckie and in Dyke and here. And we pray for those who are about to enter vacancy, Elgin High and in Buckie too, and other places where vacancy is an ongoing fact of life. Lord, encourage your people and help them to follow you with or without a minister. Father, we think of Speyfest and Refuel, and we ask that they would be a means of outreach and witness to your work. We pray that people will come along and hear life-changing truths. We pray for our own congregation and the folk in it, for those who are lonely, for those who are bereaved, for those who are coping with things that we don't know about. We pray for them that you will be with them, giving them strength and peace. And we particularly remember those who are on holiday at the moment, people who do quite a lot of work in this church, and we pray for refreshment for them, that you will bring them back eager to serve you. We thank you that you are a God of patience and that you are gentle with us. And we pray for each one of us that we will have a real knowledge of you and of the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Help us to know what you want us to do to be part of your kingdom. We ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. We continue our worship by joining together in 564. I suspect this is probably one of the first hymns that we all learn. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Thank you. first reading today is Psalm 91 and can be found on page 600 of the Pew Bibles. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, with the rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will observe only with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. And the second reading is Philippians, if I get this turned over, chapter 3, starting off at verse 12 and reading on to chapter 4, entitled Pressing On Towards the Goal. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press onwards towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Amen, and thanks be to God.
We continue our worship by joining together in Mission Praise 22. All the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside?
Thank you.
Let's bring our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, this is your day, and we're here together this morning because we need to join together around your word with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Here in this quiet place where generations have come, to give you our thanks, to give you our praise, to give you our worries and the deepest thoughts of our mind, and maybe just to be silent before you, to draw in your presence and ask you to replenish us and make us ready for the week that awaits us. But whatever the situation is, Lord, please help us to know that you're walking with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards which is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize which Christ called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. We're at that sort of lull time of the year. We've not really, you know, when we come up nearer Christmas, we can think about that, but we should have just been through the Sunday school prize giving. We've got the World Cups, the Ladies World Cup, the tennis, the competition. And so I thought it would be good for us today just to try and think, what is it that we're for? What is the purpose of our life as a church and as an individual? You see, the truth is that all of us individually have been given a prize, your life. It started the day you were conceived and will physically end the moment you take your last breath. However, those in Christ, that last physical breath will be followed by the first breath as a spiritual being. So a question you could ask is, if I'm a Christian, is there something I should be doing, or do I sit back, relax, and say, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm fine, and I'm going to heaven sometime? What are we here for? What are we supposed to be doing? Now, if you'd ever met the Apostle Paul, I think you would know at first glance he was not an athlete. From any descriptions we have, he was about 5'3", pear-shaped, going down the way, a big, very Jewish nose. He had that terrible disease that you get from the sand, and then, you know, the lower eyelid comes down so that it's always weeping and things. So he did not look glamorous. He was not athletic. And yet, I think it's true to say that if we did not have the words that he recorded for us, the Gospels would be very difficult to be explained, and we would have great difficulty understanding them. So, and yet, while he's not an athlete, the example he uses is so fitting. And if we break it down, we can see how that applies to us in our private life and in our church life today. So he says, I've not already obtained this, or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I think when we first come to faith, we tend to think that we made the decision. But then when you think about it a little bit more, you see that God, the Holy Spirit, was actually working in you, drawing you to that point where you saw your need for our Saviour, you saw your need to be saved. In fact, the Bible says, No man cometh unto the Lord except the Spirit draw. So you're not here today by accident. God has given you, us individually, a job to do, and Paul gives us encouragement as what to do. He says, I, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Now, boys especially know that grannies and mums are the only people with eyes in the back of their head. All the rest of us need to pay attention to what's in front of us. What we forget to do is, and what we need to forget is, yesterday is past. What's in front of you is important. There's a lovely little chorus we used to sing. It was a grand day when I was born again. It was a grand day. And, you know, it is, isn't it? But having done that, we need to go forward. We cannot cling to the past. You cannot cling to what's behind you, whether victory or defeat. The race, the road, is in front of you. That's why your eyes are in front of your head. God did not intend us just to sit and be content by the wayside. He meant us to move, and we'll go forward to what there is. Ultimately, when you have that perspective, then you start competing. What are we trying to pursue? And the rest falls into place. Now, I don't have to change my mindset. It's for one purpose. Training, straining towards what is ahead, I press towards the goal. And sadly, when you look at our national church and most of the local churches today, I suspect that most of us are lounging rather than straining. There's a lovely little cameo in the film Chariots of Fire. Abraham the sprinter wants to win, and so he pays a private trainer who brings him and he says, look what you're doing. And he's taken some pictures of some of the Americans and he says, see what he did. At the final bit, he strains. You know, if you watch sprinters, they come to that line and they're bashing on. Now, you may not believe it, but each of us have a goal. To get to the goal, we have to keep going. Now, I know there are teams like Rangers and Aberdeen and Celtic and some, and they're bad boys. They'll kick you the road. They'll push you, shove you to get away from the ball. But if you go down to East Fife, we're no like that. We say, no, no, we kicked the ball last year, but we kick. I don't know if you know them. They're called the Browning Brothers. They're triathlon athletes. They're gold medalists in the Olympic Games. Two brothers. And so they're in a competition. And the younger is in the front, in the lead. But sadly, he gets dehydrated and starts to fall over. And one of the other competitors comes forward and races past him. But his brother picked him up and helped him over. That's the illustration that we need. We need to encourage each other and the people around us every day, the people we meet. Can I help you? Can I support you? Can I encourage you towards the line? That lovely modern hymn, brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey, companions on the road. We are to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will take hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. You know, friends, we're on our way to heaven. Remember that song, we're on our way to heaven. And half the time you see people coming into the church or going out, and you would think they've just been to a funeral. The prize is heaven, and it's waiting for us, but we've to get there together. Have you ever sat sometimes quiet and just think, I wonder what heaven will be like? You know, that wonderful passage in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and take you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The joiner for Nazareth prepared it for you. Or Revelation. I mean, if you've got a month to spare, open Revelation and start reading there. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Or even the other bit in Revelation 7. Therefore they're before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger nor any more nor thirst. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who's in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to fountains of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. That is all those who've been loved and committed into his care, and you and me. Those who've come through the great tribulation before the throne of God forever. With pure joy and adoration will serve him day and night. And Jesus, the good shepherd, will lead us to fountains of living water, never to thirst again, and every tear wiped from every eye by the merciful hand of the Lord God Almighty. No wonder John Newton could write, when we've been here 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, with no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You know, in Christ, every one of us will get there. But how would you feel if you knew you could have done more, but passed them by and left them sitting by the side of the road? How would you feel if you hadn't encouraged them? That lovely old hymn, when all my labours and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I've loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Saviour I know will through the ages be glory to me. You know, when you look at Olympic athletes, they've only one thing in mind. They don't go to wherever their games are for the fellowship, nice though that may be. They don't go for the catering, good and great though that may be, or travel to exotic places. They go for one thing. They start the games for one thing. And I think one of the things that's wrong in our society today is that youngsters are not encouraged to take part if they can lose. If they think that in their lifetime they'll never be disappointed, feel sad, or get beat, then they better start thinking again. Because looking around, you all know that actually we're stronger after the defeat. We've learned something as we came through the struggle. But Paul says, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Olympic athletes, because they vigorously pursue excellence in their work, all go with the expectation of winning a medal. But we're there already. It's our prize. What we have to do is keep going. But would you describe your life as a Christian as vigorously pursuing, pressing on to the goal of heaven and the reward that awaits? I do honestly think that as Christians, we often suffer from short-sightedness. We tend to keep our head down now and never try to cause offence to anyone. We shuffle our feet and never move towards the goal. We just try to make it through the day. But surely, surely, friends, it has to change. It is interesting when you watch the Olympics or any other major sport. They don't concentrate on many things. They just concentrate on one thing, that road down in front of them. My teacher used to say to me, I see you've been looking out the window again, Bill. I made the mistake in the last bit of the school year. I had to go, my birthday's at the end of August, so I had to go back after the summer holidays for a week. So I thought, when we come off for the summer holidays, I won't get a report card. Big mistake. My mother got it and she looked round it and she was thinking and she says, you know, Bill, there's something funny here. She says, it looks like you've been an afternoon off every week. She says, I think the Muckety Burn must have been run, because there was a wee poem we always used to say, where the pools are bright and deep, where the grey trout lie asleep, up the river and o'er the lea, that's the place for Billy and me. But I don't know about you, but we truly, in our Christian life, we don't push people out the way, we don't be aggressive about it, but we have one thing in common, we're Christian first. In any Olympics, there are many Christians who happen to be Olympic athletes. Now notice I did not say athletes who are Christian, but Christians who are athletic. And the same applies to you and me and to our career. You're not a teacher who is a Christian. You're a Christian who is a teacher. You're not an employee of a certain company who happens to be Christian. You're a Christian who is an employee. You're not a retiree who happens to be a Christian. You're a Christian who's retired from your full-time occupation. We're Christian first. That's our highest calling. Our focus in Christ is not something we do just one day of the week when we worship. It's constant. For all of us gathered in this room today, our focus, I know, is on family and friends and loved ones. But Luke says in chapter 10, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. The question I have for you and myself alike is, are we giving everything we have? But having said all this, I don't know how your mind works, but I always try and think now, Paul said all these things, but how did he get on? Did he make it in the end? After that fateful day on the Damascus Road, the loss of his family, friends, the beatings, the starvations, the imprisonments, the shipwrecks, did he make it to paradise? Well, listen what he says in 2 Timothy 4. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will appoint to me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who've longed for his appearing. You know, friends, I think it must surely be the desire of every one of us to be able to say these words at the end of our mortal life and hear through the gospel message that lovely reply, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the rest of your Lord." As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the ease in which we have to receive it. But we also ask you that what we've heard and received, we may truly take into our life and into the community around us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Right, so we join together then in Mission Praise 760. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, for the glory he sheds on our way, while we do his good will, he abides with us still, and to all who will trust and obey. Our offering will now be uplifted. Please be seated, friends. Let's continue in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, let your light shine in any dark place in our soul. Give us your peace as you make your home within us. Holy Spirit, present in our inner silence, come and shine in our peace. Take away any anxiety, any shameful memory, every moment of failure and weakness, that for a moment we can sit here in the silence of your peace, reflecting your righteousness. Be still. Be aware of God's presence around us and within us. God, your breath is in us. Your love is our very heartbeat. Help us to be still and at rest, suspended in that silence. We come here for your renewing love, for the forgiveness that will sustain us through all our time. Lord, be merciful upon us, we ask, in the name of your Son, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn today is 512. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thank you.
my dear friends, may you go from this house in the sure and certain knowledge of the love of Christ Jesus. May he uplift you when you grow weary. May he support you when you grow tired. May he be forever near you all the days of your life. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you've loved, now and forevermore.